The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter number 6, text number 6, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on November 4th, 2012, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Pumsa
Varshashatam
Hi
Ayu
Tat
Ardham
Cha
Ajita
Atmanaha
Nishpalam
Yat
Aso
Ratyam
Shete
Andham
Prapita
Tamaha
Pung sarvasha shatang hyayus
Tadarhang
chajitatmanaha Nishpalam yat asoratyang Shetentang prapitas tamaha Pungso Varsha Shatang Hyahyus
Pungso Varsha Shatang Hyahyus
Tadarhang Shatitat Manaha
Nishpalam Yad
Asoradyang Nishpalam Yad
Asoradyang
Shaintendang Prabhitat Tamaha
Pungsa
of every human being Varshasatam 100 years.
Shimtas metų.
He
indeed.
Ayu.
Duration of life.
Gyvenimo trukmė. Tat
of that.
Tos.
Ardham.
Half.
Cha.
And
Ajita
Atmanaha
of a person who is a servant of his senses.
Savo juslių tarnu.
Nishpalam
without profit.
Be naudos, beprasmiška.
Without meaning.
Yet
because
kadangi
that person
tas asmuo
ratriam
at night
nakti
shete
sleeps
miega
andham
ignorance
forgetting his body and soul
neišmanime
Prapipata being completely possessed of
visiškai užvaldytas
tamaha
darkness
tamsos translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are covered, or rather completely lost, because at night he sleeps 12 hours being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years. Purport. Lord Rama, a human being, and an ant, all live for 100 years. But their lifetimes of 100 years are different from one another. This world is a relative world, and its relative moments of time are different. Thus, the 100 years of Rama are not the same
as the 100 years of a human being. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand that Brahma's daytime of 12 hours equals 4,300,000 times 1,000 years. Sahasra yuga paryantam mahar yad brahmano viduhu. Thus, the varshashatam, or 100 years, are relatively different according to time, person, and circumstances. As far as human beings are concerned, the calculation given here is right for the general public. Although one has a maximum of 100 years of life, by sleeping one loses 50 years. Eating, sleeping, sex life, and fear are the four bodily necessities, but to utilize the full duration of life, a person desiring to advance in spiritual consciousness must reduce these activities. That will give him an opportunity to fully use his lifetime.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Yadeshatarine.
Well, the message is pretty clear. Minimize your bodily activities. I mean, this is a pretty dramatic example being given here by Bhagavatam. If you live for 100 years and you sleep 12 hours a day, you're only living really 50 years because your sleep time is death. This is by Prabhupada told us that everything we do is kirtan. Chanting is kirtan.
Kartojimas yra kirtanas.
Reading is kirtan.
Skaitimas yra kirtanas.
Taking prasadam is kirtan.
Prasado valgymas yra kirtanas.
He said everything is kirtan except for sleeping. That is waste.
Viskas yra kirtanas, išskyrus miegą.
To the perfection of Prabhupada said, no eating and no sleeping, that is the perfection of spiritual life.
Taigi dvasinio gyvenimo tobulumas, jokio valgymo ir jokio miego.
But because we have material bodies, that is not possible. So the point is to minimize as much as possible. Prabhupada mentions in his purport sleeping 6 hours. Another purport he says 7 hours. One place he even said 8 hours. So 12 hours is out of the question for a devotee. 6 is ideal. And if you can go down to 5 or 4, then you're making a lot of advancement. We have a space up here, Madhavanandan. Right here. Prabhupada would take 2 hours of rest at night. He would sleep from 10 till midnight. And then he would get up and he would translate. And then after lunch he would take a nap for an hour and a half. And he would maintain this same schedule wherever he went all over the world. Jet lag was not an issue. Jet lag You know what, jet lag? It was not an issue. Wherever he would land, he would just immediately go into that schedule, 10 to 12, and after lunch, an hour and a half. So the more we can minimize the sleeping business, you see, that is very good. The more you can minimize eating also. It's very good. I remember when it was the most wonderful thing happened in our movement. It was called the invention of the cassette tape. When I first joined, if we wanted to hear Prabhupada, somebody had to have a big reel-to-reel machine. And somebody had to have Prabhupada on the reel-to-reel, and you would listen to it on a reel-to-reel on the tape recorder. And it was not easy to come by a reel-to-reel machine or the reel-to-reel tape to hear the Prabhupada bhajans. But then, by the mercy of the Lord, cassette tapes were invented. And devotees immediately started the Bhaktivedanta tape ministry. And anybody who wanted could subscribe to the hot releases once a week from the Bhaktivedanta tape ministry. So our temple, of course, subscribed. And every week we got that envelope in the mail with the latest lectures and morning walks from Prabhupada. This is like just several days ago, Prabhupada gave these lectures and morning walks. And the world has never heard them before. And now we get to hear them. But the only trouble was, we got to, you know, it's time to wash the dishes, it's time to do this. You have a whole day full of service. Where's the time to sit down and study these tapes? Well, I came up with an idea. I don't need lunch that badly. I would just take a nice breakfast and I would skip lunch. And all the brahmacharis were down in the prasadam room having a great time during prasadam. And I was having a great time in the brahmacharya ashram listening to those tapes and taking notes. So did I starve? No, I didn't starve. But I got the advantage of learning so many arguments from Prabhupada of how to preach. Because my service after lunch was to take prasadam to the university campus and give out prasadam to the students. And this was the height of the countercultural revolution on the U.S. campuses. If you were a Mayavadi, it was considered very cool to be a Mayavadi philosopher. All the gurus had just become famous. You know, this guru, that guru. It was the latest fad in America. Indian gurus and Indian philosophy, which meant Mayavadi philosophy. So many students would come up and say that I am an incarnation of God. Or there was so many different bogus philosophies. And I would spend every afternoon giving out prasadam and talking with all these students. So studying the tapes before I went out gave me great power. Because I would hear the arguments, especially in the morning walks on Venice Beach. I would hear Prabhupada smashing the scientists, smashing the Mayavadis. And then the next hour, I was out there with the scientists and the Mayavadis. Repeating just what I'd heard Prabhupada say. And it was wonderful. And then Krishna would give me so many realizations also. So I found that by, you know, reducing my eating, I got a great advantage. And as far as sleeping goes, another time in my devotional, a little later in my devotional brahmachari career, I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia. That's a state in the U.S., not the country, Georgia. So, I noticed the cook. His name, Ramnath Sukha Prabhu. He was, he had a really intense schedule. It was unbelievably intense. There was about 30 brahmacharis. And they were going out and preaching in the vans and at the airport, and they burned up a lot of energy, you can understand. That means they had ravenous appetites also. And this one brahmachari, he was a cook. So he had to cook for all the brahmacharis and the householders and also make the deity sweets. He had everything on his shoulder. And his service started right after Mangal Arati. And it went the whole day. How's he going to chant his rounds? Well, Ramanas Sukha was no dummy. He's a very smart man. He would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He would take his bath. Then he would peacefully, blissfully chant the Hare Krishna mantra in the temple room. And by 4:30, his rounds would be done. Now, what about that sleep he missed? Well, during breakfast, usually the Brahmachari ashram at the Atlanta temple is like a bus station, you know, with 30 Brahmacharis, you can imagine, you know. It wasn't a peaceful place, but you could easily take a nap, you can understand. However, during breakfast prasadam, that Brahmachari ashram was completely deserted. And you could sell your watch by Ramanasuka's nap. Precisely every day when the Brahmacharis went to the Prasadam room, he was there taking a nap in the Brahmachari ashram. So I said, this is really amazing to see how he's doing this, you see. And you know, that Dodi, he got so much mercy from Prabhupada. He was so dedicated to doing first-class service. It was really blissful in those days. There'd be the Mayapur festival. And Prabhupada would be at the Mayapur festival. So as many devotees as possible would go to the Mayapur festival to be with Prabhupada. But if you're the cook, you're cooking for the deities. You can't go to Mayapur. You got to stay back and cook for the deities. Well, Ramanas Sukha, he was no dummy. He had this incredible recipe for rasagulla. This was not store milk. This was milk straight from the farm. These rasagullas were absolutely incredible. To this very day, I rate rasagullas. When I take a rasagulla, I rate it compared to the way that the Ramanas Sukha's rasagulla is. This rasagulla gets an A, this one's a B, this one's a B minus, this one's a C, you see. So anyway, Ramanas Sukha, he couldn't go to Mayapur, but he took some glass jars, he sealed them very nicely, he put his rasagullas in there to take the devotees to give to Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada was so pleased with these rasagulas. He said, this is not a sweet, this is a tonic. He said, I want more of those rasagulas. So that in those days we didn't have internet, even a telephone call from Mayapur was practically impossible. The connections were so bad you had to scream into the phone, Hare Krishna Prabhu, this is so and so calling from Mayapur, can you hear me on the other end? It was like that. So a telegram was sent from India to Ramnath Sukar Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada wants more of those rasagulas. So he went into action. He made the rasagulas. He packaged them up and he sent them out by the airplane to Mayapur to Prabhupada. So this was a devotee. He was willing to give up his sleep so he could chant first class japa. And to make up that sleep, he also had to give up a meal. He also skipped his meal. He skipped his breakfast in order to get that nap. So the point is that if you're willing to sacrifice a little bit of eating and sleeping, you can become empowered and to do wonderful service, wonderful cooking, wonderful preaching, whatever it may be you're doing in Krishna service. Don't be completely a servant of your eating and sleeping. Not that I have to always eat and sleep, you see. Be a little detached. Not artificially. We had one boy, he refused to eat at all. He was a walking skeleton. He looked like he came out of one of those concentration camps. He had this he was a crazy boy. He thought he was a real self-realized soul, you see. And we were all in Maya because we were taking prasadam. He didn't last very long in the temple. So not artificially. We want our devotees to be jolly and well-fed. But sometimes for our service, we eat less or skip a meal is not a big deal, you see. Because the more you can be out of this eating and sleeping consciousness and into, you know, Harinam consciousness, into Seva consciousness, you will taste a very sweet pleasure. Because after all, we're not these bodies. These bodies are just coverings for the self. So we have to understand what is the real eating that we actually need. To nourish the true self. What is that eating? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And you know something? This Hare Krishna mantra is really delicious. It's better than mango ice cream. I mean, it really tastes good, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So, you ever want to have a bowl of mango ice cream? But there's not one handy. There isn't one available. If you want a bowl of mango ice cream, but there's none available for you to... then no problem, just chant Hare Krishna. And you get even a sweeter variety of mango ice cream. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna consciousness is bliss. Krishna consciousness is pure, unadulterated bliss. If you're not Krishna consciousness,
jeigu jūs nesat Krishna sąmoningas,
then there is something amiss
tai reiškiasi, kad kažką praleidot
with your consciousness.
Savo sąmonę.
So be Krishna conscious.
Būkite Krishna sąmoningas.
Taste the sweetest nectar.
Ragaukit saldžiausią
nektarą. Regain your svarupa, your eternal identity as the servant of Krishna.
Pažadinkit savo svarupą, amžiną prigimtį kaip Krishnos tarną.
Why are you rotting in this material existence?
Kodėl kūnat šitoj materialioj egzistencijoj?
Simply serving your rascal senses.
Paprasčiausiai tarnaudami savo kvailiem.
Do you think that's an intelligent thing?
Lėm.
To serve the rascal senses. Serve
Krishna.
That's where the nectar is. Serving the senses, there's no nectar in serving the senses. Even the most nectarian sense pleasure, which is sex life, is simply another type of misery. Just like Dvija Manigura, he wrote in his poem yesterday, the placebo effect. Actually, there's no happiness here, but we have this placebo effect of thinking there's happiness in the material world. So do yourself a favor. Take this process seriously. Try to awaken the dormant loving feelings for the Lord which are sleeping in your heart right now. Krishna is real.
Krishna yra tikras.
He's a person.
Jis yra asmuo.
He's the source of all existence.
Jis yra visos egzistencijos šaltinis.
He's the absolute substantive principle.
Jis yra absoliutus principas.
So take to Krishna consciousness.
Krishna sąmonę.
Relish the pure nectar of service to the Supreme Person.
Tarnystės aukščiausiam Dievo asmeniui.
I can ask now if there's any questions.
Noriu paklausti, ar yra kokių klausimų.
Yes, Sankirtana.
Mano klausimas yra, kad Hare Krishna mantra daug žmonių kartoja. Vieni jaučia džiaugsmo nektarą, apie kurį mokytojas kalba, kai tiesiog aš nieko nejaučiu. Ir koks yra skirtumas tarp jų kartojimo? Ar...
There is many people who chanting Hare Krishna, but some people say, I feel nectar, I feel connection with Krishna, I feel love, and some people say, I don't feel anything. So why? What is the difference?
Excellent question. Why is it some people chant and feel the connection with Krishna, and some chant and don't feel the connection with Krishna? The answer is, as I described in the initiation lecture yesterday, the 10 nam aparads.
Atsakymas yra, kaip vakar buvo papasakota, 10 šventų vardų žydimų.
Those who are committing the nama parad, they won't feel the connection with Krishna.
Tas, kuris atlieka švento vardo žydimą, nejaus ryšio su Krishna.
One has to be trained by the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master how to purely chant the name.
Žmogus turi būti apmokytas Vaishnavų ir dvasinių mokytojų, kaip tyrai kartoti švento vardo.
Because when you purely chant Krishna's name, you will feel the ecstasy. That's a fact. You will taste the nectar.
Kai tyrai kartoti švento vardo, tai yra faktas, kad jausite džiaugsmą.
One has to be patient. Because it doesn't come immediately. We are very, very contaminated. Do you know how many lifetimes you've accumulated crud in your heart? You don't know because it's uncountable. We have been accumulating the dirt of material sense gratification for millions and billions of lifetimes. So, it's just like a window is very dirty, you can't see through it very well. So the window of the heart is dirty like anything. And the full light of the name is not able to shine through in the beginning. If you keep chanting every day, faithfully, chanting your 16 rounds, following the regulated principles, trying to avoid the nama parads, you will have a gradual cleansing effect on that window. And gradually, the brilliant light of Krishna's mercy will shine through. you will feel how Krishna is personally present in his name. You'll feel how Goloka Vrindavan is present in the Mahamantra. You'll experience how all the pastimes of Krishna are present in that Hare Krishna mantra. So right now we're not to that stage yet. It's sometimes a chore for us to chant our rounds. But if we will dutifully chant Hare Krishna every day, that day will come and we'll fully realize Krishna in His name. Any other questions?
So I have a question, it has two parts. So the question has two parts.
Mm.
One part is that we have to give up this eating and sleeping business to make more advancement. So is it true that if we eat more simple prasadam, that means less opulent, then this is also will make us more empowered? Is that true? That's the first part.
Ar teisinga, jeigu mes valgysim ne mažiau, bet paprastesnį prasadą, ar tai reikš mūsų tobulėjimą?
You say, well, I'm not going to eat that much. I'll just have, for breakfast, I'm going to have 5 gulab jamuns. That'll be my breakfast.
Sakykim, na, gal šiandien daug nevalgysiu, užteks 5 gulab jamunų.
Now, it's a fact, if one eats foodstuffs that are loaded with sugar and ghee, that will also impede your coming to the transcendental platform.
Tai yra faktas, kad jeigu mes valgysim maistą, kuriame yra daug ghee ir cukraus, tai taip pat mažins mūsų tobulėjimą.
So, one should take in a balanced way.
Tad reikia viską balansuot.
Not that every 5 minutes you have to pop a sweet ball in your mouth.
Nereiškia, kad kas 5 minutės reikia saldainių suvalgyti.
Although in the beginning, Prabhupada was very kind.
Nors ir pradžioje, Prabhupada buvo labai malonus.
They had at 26 Second Avenue, there was a big jar full of gulab jamuns.
Pirmoje šventykloje buvo didžiulis bakas gulab jamunų.
And the system was, if you got in anxiety, you could go take a gulab jamun.
Ir kai tik iškaista protas, gali paimti ir suvalgyti gulab jamun.
If anybody was in anxiety, they can go pop a gulab jamun. So in the beginning, that can help us, you see, to stay enthusiastic. But as one matures in Krishna consciousness, he realizes, well, I don't think I need to eat 30 sweet balls, you know, at one shot, doesn't make sense. Let me take sweets in moderation. Prabhupada said a sweet every now and then. So sweets are a sweet every now and then. It means periodically. Not that I have to constantly take sweets. So opulent prasadam can sometimes be taken. But simple prasadam should be the standard. The opulent prasadam, the fried things and the ghee loaded things, those are special treats on the side. But the main thing is, rice, dal, chapati, sabri, like that. That's the main thing.
And I say thank you so much for the clear answer. And the second question is also connected with this, that how was it in your days of brahmacharya life? Was it followed like that? Because I have heard that Prabhupada said that for 6 days of the week for brahmacharis it should be very simple prasadam, but then Sundays for feasting. Was it in practice also like that? And was it like this that all 6 days were very simple?
What is that?
Was that in your brahmacharya time, prasadam, in six days it was simple and on Sunday feast it was rich?
Well, it depends where you were. If you're the temple where there's nice deity worship going on, then the deity Maha is there every day. In Gainesville, we used to have the famous 4 o'clock offering. There was one Mataji, she's still, my God sister, she's still doing very nice service in our movement, very strong, exalted Sadhvi, God sister of mine. But she was very expert at pastries and things like that. And she was in charge of the 4 o'clock offering, and it was really what they called a sannyasi killer. So what, it depends on where you were. But it's like in Tallinn, you have that refrigerator full of so many sweets. But one should be moderate. Oh, here also, yeah. Yeah. One should be a little conservative, you know. But don't be a fanatic, I mean, you know. I was at one Rathiatra festival. I've told this story many times. I was a brahmachari, you know. And I was had a Simply Wonderful in my mouth, in my hand, getting ready to pop it in my mouth, you know. And one brahmachari came up to me. He said, "Stop!" That's a dodi whitener. Because if you eat that Simply Wonderful, you're going to get married, Prabhu. You can't eat that Simply Wonderful, you'll fall down and become a grihastha. One of those wretched grihasthas. Well, guess who got married next? He did. And I went strong 14 years of brahmacharya. And I ate a lot of Simply Wonderfuls too. Not at every meal, but you know. So, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, next question. See.
Kadangi aš esu iliuzijoje, tai noriu sužinot, ar mano prisirišimai taip pat yra iliuziniai.
Because I am in illusion, I want to know if my attachments is also illusion.
Because you're an illusion, you want to know if your attachment is illusion. Attachment to what?
For sense gratification.
Your attachment, Ashtashaki Devi Dasi, your attachment to sense gratification is completely an illusion. Because you're thinking you're a woman. You're attached to gratifying your senses. So your attachment to sense gratification is completely illusory. You're not that woman's body. You're an eternal spiritual being. The time of death, you're going to leave that flesh and blood will be left behind. And you will go to your next destination depending on the state of your consciousness at the time of leaving the body. So, simply attach yourself to Krishna. And that attachment is not an illusion. We all have a tendency to be attached. There's nothing wrong with that tendency. We just have to put it in the right place. Be attached to Krishna. Be attached to your spiritual master. Be attached to the devotees. Be attached to the holy name. Be attached to prasadam. In this way, take your natural tendency to be attached and repose it in transcendental attachments. Your attachment to material sense gratification is simply a perverted reflection of your pure original attachment to Krishna and everything related to Krishna.
išvirkštinis jūsų natūralios tendencijos pasireiškimas prisirišti prie Krišnos.
Okay. All right. Next question. Yeah.
Yra sakoma, kad Šrimad Bhagavatam mes turėtume klausyti iš savęs suvokusios sielos. O kaip jeigu Šrimad Bhagavat skaito ne tokia pažengusi asmenybė? Koks yra skirtumas?
It is said that we have to listen Šrimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized soul. But what is the result if we listening Šrimad Bhagavatam not from so elevated person?
If you hear Bhagavatam from someone who is purely repeating the message of the highest self-realized personality, Srila Prabhupada.
Jeigu jūs klausote Bhagavatam, iš žmogaus, kuris tyrai atkartoja žinią, kuri ateina iš aukščiausio save pasiekusio,
you will get the full benefit.
Jūs gaunate pilną naudą.
The key is the person has to be honestly relaying to you what Prabhupada has said.
Raktas yra tame, kad žmogus turi nuoširdžiai, nieko neiškraipydamas atkartot, ką Šrila Prabhupada sako.
For example,
pavyzdžiui,
let's say there's a multi-billionaire,
sakykime, yra multimilionierius,
who would like to bless you with $1 million.
Kuris norėtų jums duoti milijoną dolerių.
And let's say he uses DHL courier service to deliver you your cashier's check for $1 million.
Ir sakykime, jisai išsiunčia jums per pasiuntinį tą čekį.
Does the value of the check depend on how wealthy the DHL courier is?
Ar tas čekio turinys priklausys nuo to, kaip turtingas tas yra paštininkas?
No, it does not.
Yeah.
As long as he's an honest courier. He doesn't give you a false check. If a DHL courier gives you the bona fide check that came from that billionaire, you're a millionaire. So that's how it works, Mataji. You see. Okay. I think you had a question. Yeah.
I want to ask, sometimes the devotees... they met and they speaking about health. Health, yes. You should eat this to be healthy, that to be healthy. Still, they don't speak Krishna Katha, but speaking about the health. Is this some time of Maya or is for take care the health of the devotees?
Kartais
atsidavusiai susitikę kalba, kaip būti sveikam, ar tai yra Maya, ar čia pagalba yra?
Well, if you read the letters of Prabhupada,
jeigu skaitysit Prabhupados laiškus,
you will see to the early disciples he gave many advice for their health.
Galit matyti, kad pirmiems susidavusiems Prabhupada davė daug patarimų, kaip būti sveikam.
Toothache, for example, chew on cloves for toothache.
Pavyzdžiui, dantų skausmui reikia kramtyti gvazdikėlį.
Well, since we have these bodies, they have to be taken care of.
O turim kūną, reikia jo rūpintis.
One devotee fell sick and nobody took care of him. And Prabhupada was not very happy. The devotees neglected him. Prabhupada said, if I was there, I would have personally nursed you back to health. Prabhupada told that disciple. So to be concerned for the health of devotees is a very important principle. It's called Vaishnava Seva. To help the devotees to be healthy is service, it's devotional service. But if all we talk about is the body, and we don't talk about Krishna, that's also not good. So there has to be a proper balance. Primarily we talk about Krishna. But if there is need, we can talk about bodily health as well. As a service to the devotees. But that is always less important than talking about Krishna. Does that answer you? Next question. Rabindra Das Brahmachari.
Hare Krishna. I'm just thinking from what you're speaking in the bus, I'm thinking of Arjun. One of the names for Arjun Gudakesh, so conqueror of sleep. So of course he's a mighty warrior, and I'm just wondering, you know, you're saying that we should reduce our sleep and our eating, but I'm also understanding that, you know, I myself have somehow a deep fear about reducing sleeping and eating, because something might happen. But how to approach it without being completely extreme, so that we can, you know,
how to approach it in a sane fashion.
A sane fashion.
Palena parichyate. If to judge by the result.
Reikia viską vertinti pagal rezultatus.
If you're sleeping so less that your mind isn't, you know, you're so groggy, you can't do anything right. You obviously you're not sleeping enough.
Jeigu miegat taip mažai, kad jūs visas esat spirisauti, tai tikrai jas miegat per mažai.
You have to see what best facilitates your Krishna consciousness.
Reikia žiūrėti, kiek miego geriausiai yra jūsų Krishna sąmonė.
Now, if Bhakta Joe can get by in 4 hours, that doesn't mean you have to imitate Bhakta Joe. You have to see whatever works best for you. You can experiment. What works better for me, you know? Five chapatis or three chapatis? You know. You just have to, everyone has to experiment. See what everyone... Everyone is the master of their own fate, actually. You know. You are the controller who regulates your diet and your sleeping. So everybody gets to adjust it according to just what best facilitates their own personal Krishna consciousness. If you need 20 chapatis, then take 20 chapatis. Whatever best facilitates you. When the devotees first joined, the Prabhupada encouraged them, eat as much as you can. And they love that order from Swamiji. And then Prabhupada said, now you should reduce. And the Mahapati said, but Swamiji, you told us to eat as much as possible. Now you're telling to eat less. Prabhupada said, you didn't have any trouble following my first instruction. So the point is, we should do, you know, we should just do whatever works for us. And when Prabhupada started talking about things like yogis only fill their bellies halfway with food and 25% with water and 25% air, devotees got scared. Oh my God, I'm in Maya. I've ate more than a half a belly full of prasadam. They got really scared, you know. So there was a question and answer session about prasadam one time. It came up in the questions and answers with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, if my disciple wants more prasadam, it is my duty to provide it, because I am the spiritual master. That was Prabhupada's mood. He wanted to personally serve each devotee and made sure they were satisfied. That was Prabhupada's mood. So don't get scared. You have to go on some, you know, some tapasvi intense program, you know. It used to be rather extreme sometimes in the old days of ISKCON. There was one different Prabhupada says that would go around the movement. And one was that Prabhupada says you only can have 7 chickpeas. And that was a rule. You're only allowed 7 chickpeas. You know. The server would count, you know. You can't have an eighth chickpea because surely you will fall down in sex life if you illicit sex if you have an eighth chickpea in Prabhu. He was kind of fanatical in the early days. So you don't take it fanatically. Just take it as a wonderful gift from Prabhupada that you get to experiment and see what works best for your Krishna consciousness. Sleeping more, sleeping less. Eating more, eating less. Have fun with it. Everything is for the purpose of reconnecting with that amazing person who's adept at playing the flute, whose two hands are adorned with that flute and jeweled ornaments.
Viskas, kas susijęs su tuo, kad pažadinti santykius iš ten nustabėjus asmenybė, kuris groja fleitą ir pasipuošęs gražiais papuošalais.
That Govinda who manifests himself as Krishna.
Tas Govinda, kuris apsireiškia kaip Krishna.
And all the avatars in the world.
Kuris apsireiškia kaip visi kiti avatarai pasaulyje.
Is his subjective portions.
Yra jo dalis.
Awaken that Krishna consciousness. Okay, we got time for one more quick question. Anybody have a quick question that doesn't require 20 minutes to answer? Okay, let's try this one.
Mes turim tam tikrą ribotą pajamų kiekį ir yra labai daug aukojimo dėžučių. Mokytojai, už prasadą. Ir kaip žinoti, kurias dėžutės geriau dėti.
We have limit income and there is so many boxes for collecting donations. Donations for prasadam, donations to temple, donations to guru. So how to proper balance this our donations?
Oh, you're living on the outside, you're donating to the temple for different things? Okay.
Jūs gyvenat namie ir aukojat.
Actually, this is a managerial issue. The temple leaders have to manage, these different fundraising campaigns, how they're administered. It's up to the temple management to properly administer this.
Iš tikrųjų, čia managemento klausimas, ir čia kiekviena šventykla.
But if there's no, but if it's just simply your free choice, you can support the Bajari department, the Sankirtan department, the Guru Seva department, you have your choice and whatever enlivens you the most, Prabhu. Whatever inspires you the most. Some people like to give the cow protection. Some people like to fund the gurus. Some people like to do the temple construction. Whatever enlivens you the most, that's what you should do. Okay, our time is up. One last point.
Wherever they choose, they can give the donation, but shouldn't they serve the temple that they leave and utilize it?
So the question, are you talking about different projects within the temple itself? Yes. That's what he's talking about. Yeah.
Guru Mataji pakomentavo, kad tas žmogus, kurio šventykloje bendruomeniai priklauso būtent tą, turėtų remti. O mokytas pasitiksino, ar klausimas buvo skirtas, ar kurią bendruomenę remti, ar kurį vidinį bendruomenės projektą remti.
There are different projects on a worldwide basis.
Yra daug skirtingų projektų visame pasaulyje.
So you should serve your personal temple.
Tad reikia tarnauti savo asmeninę šventyklą.
And also your spiritual master.
Ir savo dvasinį mokytoją.
That's important. Both things are important.
Du dalykai yra svarbus.
Okay, we'll stop here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Kira Prabhupada ki jai. Before you're off your obeisances, I have a special announcement. Yesterday, because of so many things happening at once, I neglected something very, very important, which was very painful for me to realize I had neglected it. And that was that Dr. Vardi Gabor, our veterinarian from the Hungarian Farm Project, was also given Pranam Mantra. But all the rites for pranam mantra, I forgot to mention it yesterday. It was a tremendous oversight on my part. It caused him great anxiety. He thought, oh no, what have I done? Something wrong. I didn't get pranam. So now I'm offering Dr. Vardi Gador pranam mantra. So I hope that made up for my mistake yesterday. Okay, so what's the program tonight?
We have class today, 12 o'clock class.
12 o'clock class?
Yes. Sunday program.
Oh, that's the Sunday program, and there's no evening program. Okay. Let's be back here in 3 hours. We're going to go deeper and deeper into this unlimited ocean of nectarian rasa. Krishna Bhakti Ki Jai.
Man Sankarsan Dikari Maharaj Ki
Jai.